Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Good to see you here in the house of the Lord. Good to see Darren and Felicia. And both of your sons here. One son's over here. All right, okay. And then the new one, Jude Michael Scott Sistrom. So if you have another one, you'll probably put another middle name. Is that right? All right. Sister Grant's around here someplace. I'm not for sure where. But she's in the back. Okay, who's pinning the flower on? Here we go. All right. Now you may be seated. Felicia and Darren, if you would remain standing. The Neesums have played a very important part in the development of our church here in Madison. Jeff and Linda came here quite a number of years ago, and they have been involved in different ministries and different activities, and they have three lovely children, two beautiful girls and a boy. And I have to say that Nathan is one fantastic boy, man. Now, and he married a beautiful young lady here at Calvary Gospel Church. I think that I dedicated all of Jeff and Linda's children, including Felicia. I've had so many laughs over the years dealing with Felicia in our Christian school. And I could stand here and tell some interesting stories for a long time. I think I just told this one, but I had a heart attack and I was in the hospital. And the kids in the grade school, I don't know how old Felicia was, 8 probably, they all sent cards up. And Felicia's really got my attention. She says, "Dear Brother Grant, please get well, and I certainly hope you don't die." And I decided I wouldn't die, so... Baby dedication is a very, very important thing. I was asked when I lived in La Crosse to be a part of a panel at Viterbo College. That's an all-Catholic college. So I went down not knowing what to expect. They had a Jehovah's Witness, a Lutheran pastor, a Baptist pastor, a Catholic priest, a couple of others, and myself. And one question they ask is, when do you baptize children? Well, we don't baptize children, so I waited till my turn, and I told the, it was a world religion class and probably had more in it than we have here. I said, "We do not baptize infants because we, number one, we have no record in the Bible where infants were baptized. Now, we do dedicate them. But what they were trying to figure out is when is the age of accountability. In other words, when does a person become responsible for his or her sins? Of course, the Catholics believe that you're born in sin. That is, that you're born a sinner. So you need to be baptized right away. Otherwise, if you die without being baptized, then you may not make it to heaven. And they do say may not. Possibility you could go, but I'm telling you what they believe. Well, when they got to me and asked me, I said, well, we do not practice a particular age or set a particular age in which a person is responsible for his or her sins. How do you determine then when they need to be baptized? I said, when God deals with them. God will take and deal with the person, and they come down to what we call the altar, and I go through all this, and then they feel they're ready to be baptized in Jesus' name. A lot of questions came up about that. A lot of questions. But that's what we do here at Calvary Gospel Church. We do not baptize infants, but we dedicate them, because in the scripture, that's what they did. They dedicated. Jesus himself was dedicated on the eighth day after his birth. And it is just such an honor to be able to stand here and once again, many years later, take one of the Neeson's grandsons and dedicate him to Jesus. And Darren and Felicia are working in the state of Maryland, and they're doing a good work out there. He's preached here, an outstanding preacher. Both of them doing a great work. So to be able to dedicate a preacher's son is really, really, really important to me. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord says, I say the Lord says, Peter's writing, but the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is not willing that any person should perish. But people do perish. Does God always get his way? Obviously not. He was long-suffering to man in the days of Noah, when Noah built the ark. Noah preached righteousness. But very few people gave their heart to God. And we are living near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of great sorrow upon planet Earth. And you would think that hundreds of people would come and give their heart to God. See, to be saved, though, you have to do something. To be lost, you don't have to do anything. Mark 16:16, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So at the conclusion of this service, I'll give you the opportunity to give your heart to God. And if you are not saved, please understand that you need to come down to the front and you need to give your heart to God. The plan of salvation found in Acts 2:38 is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you repent, you get baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the plan of salvation. In other words, God has a plan for you. So that's what you need to do. But to be lost, you just simply ignore the invitation. Ignore the call of God. Titus 3:11, the Bible teaches us that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. I must have given you the wrong scripture. Is it 2:11? Well, 2:10, but 2:11. Let's try that one. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, that simply means that every person that is walking on the face of the earth, and every person that's ever walked on the face of the earth, even the children that are still in their mother's womb, they hear the voice of God. They hear the voice of God. We have record of, in the Bible, of people, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, several people heard the voice of God and responded by jumping. John the Baptist, he jumped in his mother's womb when he heard that Mary was pregnant with Jesus. So everybody has heard the voice of God. Now, some people don't recognize it as God. Some people don't even know who Jesus is, but still the voice of God speaks to them. This is the reason why when people come to an apostolic church, quite often I have had people come up to me and said, you know, it seems like I've heard you preach somewhere. I said, well, you might have. Have you ever preached over a certain church? I said, no, I never have. Have you preached over here? No, never have. I know I've heard you preach. It's the familiar voice of God that they hear. And when they hear the truth, it's like they're hearing the voice that they've heard all of their life. So when the children are dedicated, God puts a special touch, puts his hand on them, protects them and keeps them, and that's what we're praying. As they get older, they will hear the voice of God while the preaching is taking place, and they will come down to the altar, and this front area up here is what we call the altar. It's just a place to come and pray. They'll come down and give their heart to God. And that's so great. But we leave this up to God. When God calls them, they're ready to repent. They're ready to be saved. Now, can God save everyone? Now think before you give an answer. Can God save everyone? Well, obviously, if he doesn't will that any should perish, and yet thousands of people perish, how would you explain them dying lost if God can save everyone? Now, there is a condition in which God can save everyone, and that is if the people that he is calling will say, Lord, I believe in you. Lord, I give my heart to you. But so often when we're praying for our loved ones, we're praying what I call an impossible prayer. You're saying, God, save my mother. But mother is saying, but I don't want to be saved. God, save my dad. But the dad is saying, but I don't want to be saved. Now, can God save that mother that says, I don't want to be saved? Or can he save that father that says, I don't want to be saved? Not unless they change their mind and say, I want to be saved. Otherwise, God does not save anyone against their will. And this is the reason why that so many people die lost. Now let me ask you this. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Luke 13:3-5. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are you willing to repent? That is, tell the Lord that you're sorry that you've been sinning. Pour your heart out to God. Submit to him. Give him everything that you have been doing that's wrong. If you truly want to be saved, remember, nothing can stop you. Nothing can push you into salvation, and nothing can push you out of salvation. If you really want to repent, no devil from hell, no spiritual force, no physical force, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Let's turn to Romans 8:39. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, or convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, you may ask, do you believe in eternal security? I do, as long as I keep my focus on the Lord. See, nothing can take me away from God, but I can walk away from God if I so desire. So it's so good that we serve a God that would keep us. Now, you may make some mistakes. You may fall. You may not even feel like getting up. However, God is there to pick you up. And since I've been serving God, trust me, I've had some ups and downs. But God's always there to pick me up. So can God save just anyone? Not just anyone, but he can save the person that says, Lord, I believe. Now, you know, to spend eternity in heaven. Now, how long is eternity? It's forever. But to spend eternity in heaven, and all you have to do is follow the plan of salvation and then live godly here on the earth. And then when you die, you'll be in the presence of God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But if you don't serve God and then you die, you will spend eternity in hell. That means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now, you don't have to be real intelligent to figure out what the best deal is. Isn't that right? Really? Last Tuesday, I went to Rockford and we buried my oldest sister, Sister Rutherford. A lot of you knew her. Her and Brother Rutherford came here and helped us start our Christian school. And they just, we've been close all of our lives. She was 2 years ahead of me in high school. I had some other sisters that would embarrass me. But Sister Rutherford, she wanted everything just perfect, and she would never embarrass me. And she would tell everybody, "This is my brother." On Wednesday night, Sister Grant and I were out in the Tahoe getting ready to leave. We received a call, and she was talking to my sister in Texas, and I heard my sister say that Josie died. I could not believe it. Oh, man. Like someone took a baseball bat and hit me right in the stomach. Well, we were on our way over to Chili's, and I told my wife, I said, "Let's just go ahead." And we went over there, and we told our server, and before long, two managers and several servers were gathered around us and encouraging us. I knew that Josie had lived a great life. But when we were in high school, she didn't want it to have anything to do with God or the church. My mother, she would take the girls, and sometimes I'd stay home with Dad and wouldn't go to church. But later on, I gave my heart to God. My dad and I gave our heart to God the same time. We were both baptized the same night. My dad first, and I followed my dad into the baptismal tank and was baptized. But Joseph married a man of a different faith, and that broke my mother's heart. She had, I think at the time that I'm going to make reference to, she had two kids, I think, Debbie and can't even think of her name, Donna. But I felt I was living for God then. I felt that I needed to go to the church and pray. So I got to the church and I thought, I'm going to pray all night long. My good friend David Fuller stopped by. And he said, I'll pray with you. He said, "What are you praying for?" I said, "I just want to pray for my sister, Josie." Josie and Darlene were pretty close friends. Well, David and I began to pray, and I got home. It was daylight. I was getting ready to teach a Sunday school class that morning, too. But Josie was sitting at our dining room table and talking with Darlene. And I greeted her and so forth. And then I made reference to a girl that we had been working with. And Josie looked at me and she says, don't even mention her name. I said, why? She said, because I hate her. I said, no, you don't. She said, yes, in fact, I hate her with a hate so vehement I could kill her. I don't know what the girl had done at the time, I knew something. And something came on me, it was like, just like prophecy. I said, Josie, God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost right here at this table right now. And she laughed. And she said, are you serious? I said, yeah. She said, but I don't want to be saved. Now, how's God going to fill her with the Holy Ghost when she doesn't want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? But someone had given me a tape of a month or so before, of a message that Brother Pugh preached at the Texas camp meeting. It was entitled, Your First Night in Hell. It was so powerful. So I said, would you listen to this tape? I said, this will give you the want to. She said, I'll listen to it. And she started listening to that. And after about 15 minutes into it, she started crying. And then she started praying. And we cut the tape off, and my wife and I prayed Josie through to the Holy Ghost at our table. Boy, I'm glad we did. When we put her body in the ground last Tuesday, I came to my mind, I'm so thankful that she listened to God that day. She changed her mind. Because if she had not have changed her mind, she could have lived her life. And then dying at the age of 77, she could have been lost forever. But when she received the Holy Ghost in our home, she really never looked back. Her husband was a military man. He spent 4 years in the Air Force, and then the Army solicited him. They sent him straight to school, and he learned the Russian language and spent a lot of time up in Alaska on the Aleutian Chain. He then went to Vietnam. Actually, he went twice. When he was in Vietnam, he started writing me. I'd get letters from him just covered with mud. You can hardly read them. But I could tell he was understanding what his wife had received. And when he came back home, Brother Johnny Wilhoit, most of you knew him. He was a missionary to the Philippines and also a pastor up in Minneapolis. Johnny Wilhoit went over to his house one night and they began to talk, and about 2 o'clock in the morning took him over to the church. Baptized him in Jesus' name. And they've both been living for God. Brother Rutherford is an ordained minister with the United Pentecostal Church. But you got to have the want to. And sin will kill that want to in your heart. The longer you live in sin, the harder it is to say, I do, or I give, or I believe. Now, God does not want you to go to hell. He does not want your child to be lost. And if you raise your child and point your child in the direction of God so that your child will have a relationship with Jesus. When your child gets old enough to say, Lord, I surrender, won't have nearly the problem that the child will have if the child reaches 30 or 35 or 40. It's tough then. The older you get, the harder it is to surrender. So we're going to dedicate Jude Michael Scott Sistrunk. He was born May 30th. 2016, weighed 6 pounds and 15 ounces, 20 inches long. Such a little bundle of joy. But later on, he can give you a lot of grief. He can give you a lot of money. When he gets to be a teenager and he doesn't want to serve God. But even though you have to want to be saved, and you're praying that impossible prayer, Lord, save my son. He says, but I don't want to be saved. Keep praying that impossible prayer, because God can take and turn him around. God can take every mind and work on it and turn them around so that they will serve the Lord. We'd like for you to stand at this time, and we would like Darren and Felicia to bring their son. Why don't you just stand right in front of the pulpit down here? Brother Shane Mackey is going to hold the baby during dedication. Now we'd like for Felicia's parents and Darren's, I don't know if you have any relatives here or not. No. All right. Now the friends that have come to support Felicia, a brother, a sister, a sister-in-law. Oh, man, this is so great. Oh, praise God. Revelation 22:17, the Bible says, whosoever will may come and drink out of the fountain of life. Whosoever will. And that's what we're praying. We're dedicating this young boy to God Almighty. Yeah. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd move, Lord Jesus, upon Jude. Move, Lord Jesus, upon him, and move upon his dad, and move upon his mom, and move upon the grandparents. Oh, God, the aunts and the uncles, move upon all the friends that are here. God, as we dedicate him to you, so, Lord, in the presence of all of the heavenly angels that are here, in the presence of Almighty God, in the presence of all the saints of God, we lift this child up and we dedicate him to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Now, that's it. Now, we want to give Jude back to his parents, and then we want to lay hands on Darren and Felicia, and let's just rededicate them. Just reach out and lay hands on them. Lord Jesus, we lay hands right now upon Darren and Felicia. We lay hands upon this entire family, these two sons, Lord. And I pray, oh God, as members of the body of Christ, Lord, that we would hold them up in prayer every day. Yes, Lord, I pray, God. Lord Jesus, I am asking, keep your hand upon Darren, keep your hand upon Felicia and this family. Oh, God, until they walk into eternal life, I pray, God, move, Lord Jesus, upon them. We dedicate this entire family to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. And everybody say amen. Amen. Put your hands together. Would you do that? We're just going to ask the family to return back to their pew. And as soon as I finish preaching, Brother Mackey will take them out in the lobby, and there'll be a receiving line. So make sure that you go by and congratulate them. But we want to give all of you an opportunity to seek the Lord. You know, this business of giving your heart to God, it's only hard because the devil wants it to appear to be hard. Jesus said, take my yoke upon me, learn of me. He said, I am meek and lowly. He says, my burden is easy. My yoke is light. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is the hard way. The longer you live in sin, the harder your life is going to be. It is so difficult to give your heart to God when you live in sin. So, as our praise singers, as they're not here, if you're sick in body and you need prayer, would you come and stand over here on this side of the church? If you're burdened down with some situation, come and just stand right here in front of the pulpit. And if you want to give your heart to God, come and stand over here to your right. Come on right now. Come give your heart to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Come on right now. Yes. Come on down. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Salvation or